weekly deep dive podcast on all things animation. My name is Andy. I'll be your host for today. And with me, as always, is my lovely co-host, Nadia.
Hello.
How are you doing, Nadia?
I am very good. I went hiking both Saturday and Sunday this weekend, so my knees hurt a lot because I'm getting older.
Saturday and Sunday.
Saturday, we went hiking with the dogs, and then we're like, wow, that was a lot to handle. I definitely have to work on training Sokka to be more hikeable. So then we went again, just us, and we got sandwiches and ate them at the top. And Larry started listening to the first season of The Adventure Zone, which I'm very excited about. So we listened to that while we hiked.
Oh, yes. Let's just plug the McElroy brothers right here, right now.
We are not sponsored by The Adventure Zone. They also, for sure, don't need the help with publicity.
Are you
sure?
Anyway,
yeah, they're doing pretty well. You know.
Oh, whether or not they need the help, I'm happy to support them. They're some good boys.
Yeah. What did you do this weekend?
I spent more time than I care to admit watching the new Space Jam movie.
Oh my god. Is it good, Andy? I've heard it's really bad.
You know what? I don't think I could have sat through that film if it was not in the environment that I was in.
Oh good.
Which was very intoxicated.
I was going to say, in no way, shape, or form were you sober during that experience.
No.
Carry on.
No, I was not sober nor silent. I think at one point I was just like, I'm just going to take a drink every time they say something dumb, and they said a lot of dumb things.
Oh, God. I am surprised you made it through. Congratulations. Well, I mean, you know, it's your crazy high tolerance, so there you go.
Oh, I don't know what you're talking about.
You ready for this gem of a film? This beautiful, beautiful, perfect movie?
Dude, Space Jam?
No,
we
no,
can talk
God,
about Space
no.
Jam.
No. No, not Space Jam.
Can you believe that they made Porky Pig rap?
Wait a minute. No. No.
Yeah.
Well, good thing I was not planning on watching that movie. So good to know I'm making some good choices with my life.
No, you're making some bad choices. You didn't want to watch old Granny be in The Matrix?
What?
Yeah, you didn't want to watch the old... What's her name? The granny from the Looney Tunes.
The one
I think her name's
the,
just Granny.
With Tweety Bird?
Yeah.
She was in The Matrix?
Yeah.
Why?
Because they could.
Honestly, that entire movie just sounds like a Warner Brothers circle jerk.
That movie is 2 hours long, and there is a scene where LeBron James just goes, "Hey, look, it's Harry Potter world. I'm a Hufflepuff." And then they just cut to the next scene.
So literally, it was just a Warner Brothers commercial for Warner Brothers for 2 hours long.
They have this whole like montage where they're going up to each of the Looney Tunes and they're like, "Hey, come with us. We got to do this thing." And then like some of them get like an actual story. And then like Elmer Fudd is just Mini-Me from the Austin Powers films. And then he's suddenly on the spaceship. And there's like no actual like transition between those two scenes.
Well, that's fun. I will not be watching that movie.
Do you know what the antagonist's name is?
I do not, but I'm guessing that you're not going to let me keep that streak going.
So the antagonist is an algorithm played by Don Cheadle, who hams out easily the best actor in that film. Not a high bar, but easily the best actor in that film. His name is Algorithm.
I literally don't even know how to handle this information that you've just given me. What do I do with this? What do I do? Take it out of my brain. I want to give it back. Take it back.
No, I don't take any returns. I'm sorry.
Oh, no. Oh, God. Well, this is great.
All right, so time to talk about the actual film we should be talking about. The original Space Jam.
No.
Oh, Michael Jordan's in the new Space Jam.
Is he?
Did you know that? Did you want to know that?
Who's the?
They got Michael Jordan in the new Space Jam.
Who's the one in the old Space Jam?
It's Michael Jordan.
Oh, so he came back?
Oh no, he didn't come back. They got Michael B. Jordan.
Oh my god.
That joke actually made me laugh. I did enjoy that one.
Oh my god, that's really funny. Also, that entire sentence that you just did is like, if anyone is ever like, "Hey, is it easy to communicate with Andy?" I'll just play them that clip and be like, Well, you know when someone says something and you're like, yeah, sure, I understand what you're saying, but then that's not actually the thing that they were saying at all, but all of the words are the right words, but none of the meaning is the right meaning. That's having a conversation with Andy. Anyway, time for some good old honest conversation about this week's movie.
All right. So this week we're discussing Luca, a outright beautiful Miyazaki slice of life anime.
See, in this case, the meaning of what you were saying was all there, but none of the words were right.
I don't know what you're talking about. I never talk like this.
You go both ways. It's fine. I get it. I've honed my my skills over many years.
Of going both ways? I'm sure you
Yes.
have.
Yes, precisely. Anyway, Luca.
What were your initial thoughts on Luca?
Okay, well, I was very excited to see Luca. I watched the trailers when they came out. I like usually very eagerly await the Pixar movies that come out over the summer because there's usually one that gets released around June, which is when my birthday is. So I'm like waiting for it. And usually my family and I, my parents and I watch the new Pixar movie like on my birthday because it usually comes out a couple days before, which we were planning on doing with Luca. But then I got sick on my birthday, which was super dumb. So we didn't get to do that, which was very sad. But I was like really excited to watch it. And when I finally did, it was perfect and amazing and beautiful. And I loved it so, so, so much. And then I promptly had an existential crisis because, oh my God, what if I like this movie more than Cars? Who am I if Cars is not my favorite Pixar movie? You know, just normal things that arise after seeing a Pixar film.
You know, in a way, this film is about something car adjacent.
What?
This film's all about just something real close to a car. It's like a kid version of a car.
A fish?
No, a Vespa.
So not a fish then.
In what way are fish like cars?
You're right, though. A Vespa, that makes way more sense. Anyway, I loved it, basically, is the point of this whole thing. I had been waiting for it. I was so excited to see it. I watched it. It lived up to all of the hype that I had, and I was immediately ready to watch it again after I finished it. It was one of those movies where I was like, that was really good. I would watch it tomorrow.
Yeah, I think this film is absolutely adorable. I love all of the work that they put into just the simplistic story with not even very high stakes, and it still feels like everything is running at a good pace and everything is going. It's honestly a pretty feel-good film. I do take some issues with how they treat some of the characters. But all in all, I think everything's up to par. The music's amazing, the animation looks great.
Oh, the animation is so beautiful. There's just this like really simple scene in the beginning when they get onto land for the first time, and it just like pans over like a grassy field, and there's this moment of quiet where it's just like the music and the nature, and it just like I feel like it's been such a long time since I've seen a really like big name movie that takes time and appreciates the quiet moments, and I eat that stuff up. I absolutely love it. So, like 10 minutes into this movie, I was already so hyped. I was like, oh my God, they're like taking their time. They're appreciating the world around them. They're tell it my par The first thing that my parents told me when I asked if they liked it was that it was a simple story told beautifully. And I was like, that's all I ever wanted. So, super hyped. Yes, very good. Lots of yays.
All right, before we get too far into the non-spoiler section, do you want to give a little recap?
Oh, jeez, I forgot. Luca tells the story of two young boys, Luca and Alberto, right? Yes. Hold on, I'm gonna do
Yep,
that again. I
nope, it's
forgot their
Alberto.
name.
Alberto.
Okay. Redoing that because I suck at everything. Luca is the story of Luca, a 13-year-old sea monster who is told to not go up into the world above because it is scary and bad and he will not be safe there. But of course, being a rambunctious boy, he sort of finds himself up on top thanks to Alberto, who drags him up there. This is not going well. Can you give this a go? I am spiraling.
All
I am
right.
running out of control.
Luca is a film about two boys who want a Vespa. That's it. That's the entire film.
Okay, well, let's just throw adjectives back and forth then until we found a summary. I'll go first. Sea monsters.
Vespa.
Too much spaghetti.
Wants.
Oh no!
They want it. They want the Vespa.
Freedom.
That's the entire film. There's two boys who want a Vespa.
Okay. Yes, but also lots of love and family. Two boys, we want a Vespa, but also a nice loving family. Luca.
No. They learn about the family that they always wanted along the way.
Spoiler. Okay, here we go. Luca, two boys want Vespa, end up with dumb family instead.
All right, Luca is a film about a mother and a father who spend several days looking for their kidnapped child.
Oh my god. No. Oh my god. This is the worst summary we've done in a really long time, and we're already pretty bad at summary. Luca follows two young boys who are sea monsters as they...
This is how we should do all of our summaries.
As they make their way through a human town, trying not to get caught and finding the real magic along the way.
All right. Here's my summary. Have you seen The Little Mermaid? It's kind of like that, but like... With less love and more gay.
I would argue that it has more love and more gay. Because, I don't know, there is a lot of problematic relationships in The Little Mermaid. So if you take all of that and balance it out with the, like, main romance, there isn't a whole bunch of love. Whereas in Luca, get a whole lot of love from a whole lot of different characters. You feel what I'm saying?
There's less romantic love.
Okay,
there's
here
definitely
you go.
More
here
platonic
you go.
Love.
Here's
and
what,
familial here's love.
Here's the final summary that we need. Was your favorite thing about Cars, the love relationships, and found family? Well, have I got a movie for you? Cars, but they're sea monsters.
How is this movie Cars?
Did I do it?
Wait, no. How? Please explain to me. How the plot of Cars and the plot of Luca relate to one another.
So the plot doesn't relate to one another, but the heart and core of the film kind of do.
But...
It's not a one-for-one match, like, but you've got your character who's got to start learning how to think about others and put other needs before their own. You've got found family... You've got a race. Need I say more?
Okay, that works as a comparison, but we're trying to summarize the film.
Do you like the core of Cars? Well...
This is what you should be doing in the recommendations, not in the summary.
Okay.
Like, did you like the core of this is not an explanation of what happened in the film.
So I think we've done it, right?
Yeah, I think somewhere in there's a summary of this film.
Yeah. Cool.
All right. Anyway, I like this film. I think the characters are gay. Great. I think the characters are gay.
Yeah.
I think the characters are great. I really like the relationships between pretty much everyone of the main cast in the film. I think all three of the main children do a very good job of intermingling with one another, and I think the voice actors do a very good job of capturing that childhood. And this film does a very good job of just capturing that childhood essence behind it.
Yeah, it's so perfect.
You're so perfect.
Aw, you're so perfect. Aww. And we're perfect together. Born to be forever, dancing through life. Anyway.
You know I'm keeping that in here, right?
Oh no. Uh-oh. I done goof. But yeah, I agree. I think this movie is perfect. I think that because it is paced well and it is sort of quiet and it has these core characters that it really focuses on, you get to see their relationship in like really subtle ways that are just like, it's like the perfect movie for show don't tell. Like you can see in the way that they react with one another, how they care, what they're thinking. Like there's a lot of subtext that isn't overtly stated, but like this film's understanding of body language and relationships and like being in this point in your life is so unbelievably clear. It's just like it did a perfect job of just capturing these moments and these feelings and these relationships.
Yeah, this film genuinely brought me to tears on two separate occasions, and it was explicitly for the things that weren't said.
Yes. Yes. It's like, oh my God, it's okay. So one thing that I've noticed that I really, really like, I've been reading a lot of graphic novels, and especially when you have like moments with characters that are forming like a relationship, whether it's platonic or romantic or whatever, panels like zoom in on different little moments between the two of them, like fingers brushing against each other or someone's head on someone's shoulder, and it just like zooms in on the little like divot in your neck where the head is meeting like your neck. I don't know. And it like goes into these little moments to show sort of like this. Like the focus of the relationship, and like when you feel someone close to you, where you feel it in your body. And I think Luca does a really good job of zooming in on those little moments to kind of show the relationship between characters and like the care and the tenderness. And it like, it just does it in a really, really, really good way.
Absolutely, and I definitely agree with all of that. I love this film for being so refreshing. It's honestly been a while since a property has given me just good friendships without there being necessarily anything romantic between them. Especially like, and we've talked about this before, like there aren't enough films that just have two male children leads just being friends together and having that like that bond and that care and that love for one another.
Yeah, I totally agree. That was not my initial reaction coming out of it, and we will have plenty of time to talk about this in the spoiler section. But I do think just like the pure friendship between the characters is really, really refreshing. And I think the conflicts that they face between one another are really honest, and I don't think they're drawn out for like dramatics or made over the top. They still are rooted in like honesty in the portrayal of their growing friendship and the struggles that they have as friends. And I think that that is what made me like it so much. Like, the point wasn't to have drama or have world-ending consequences or have this like greater than life story. The focus was really just on, to me at least, the beauty of compassion. And that was it. Like, that was what this movie said to me. And I just, it's been such a long time since that has been it, and a film has dared to tell that truth in a simple way, right? Like, contrasting with Raya, which we talked about last time, which tried to send a message in like the most convoluted way ever. Like, I think coming back to this simplicity is really all I've wanted. It's all I've ever needed.
Yeah, and I think Raya's a good case study for what this film was trying to, or at least some of the messages that this film was trying to send, which we can also delve into further in the spoiler section. But I would say all in all, this is definitely a film I would recommend to others. This is definitely a film if you are a fan of, and I said this jokingly, but I do genuinely mean this, like the slice of life anime-esque style of movie and TV show. I think that this is very reminiscent of a lot of that. I think this definitely takes inspiration from Miyazaki films in particular, and I would not be surprised if the town Porto Rosso was a playoff of Porco Rosso.
I think it might actually be a real place. I'm making
I'm
that up.
pretty sure it's not. I mean, you can prove me wrong.
Okay, no, it's based off of a real place, but that's not what it's actually called.
Okay, well, I still stand by that being the inspiration for the name.
Okay, yeah, you're right. It also says that the director was has like overtly said that he's been inspired by Ghibli films, so that would make sense.
There we go. We did it.
Hey.
I did it. No need to cite my sources.
The source is your mind.
My citations are just, I don't know, I thought about it like, I don't know, like 20 minutes ago, and I was like, oh, that's cute.
Well, you did it.
Yay.
Yay.
I'm so smart. Anyway, if you, I would not say that this film is for everyone. I do know plenty of individuals in my life who can't really sit through such a simple story and want a bit more meat to chew on, a bit higher stakes. But this is definitely just a nice, relaxing, refreshing film with some fun old comedy and some heartfelt found family and love.
Yeah, I'd recommend it to literally anyone. Honestly, even if someone was like, I like action movies, I'd be like, have you ever heard of the high stakes race in Luca?
Yeah.
I understand why it might not be for everyone, but I, knowing myself, would still recommend it to everyone just on the off chance that like this was the movie that they could get behind. Because I love it.
No, but if someone's like vehemently against more simplistic stories and especially like family-oriented things, I can absolutely understand not enjoying this film.
I understand. I don't want to yuck on other people's yums, but why don't you like those things?
I don't want to yuck on people's yums, but like, why your yum so yucky?
I mean, I get it. I have very specific tastes in media too. So I'm not one to talk at all, but yeah, I would still recommend it to anyone. Also, if you're like a fan of Disney and Pixar at all, I think this is just, they did so good. They did such a good one with this. Or if there are things with Disney that you like aren't usually a fan of, I think this film feels different from a lot of the other stuff that they've done. I think it does take, like, again, it takes quieter moments. It builds off of smaller relationships. It doesn't have crazy big, crazy stakes.
Yeah, but like, even thinking of the last Pixar film to come out, like, it wasn't crazy high stakes, but they went fairly deep into a lot of, like, psychological thought processes.
Yeah, that's true. And I do think that Pixar has been getting more and more abstract as they've been kind of moving forward. And this film kind of roots back to this very grounded story.
Like, I wouldn't say anything in the past few years that Pixar has put out has been particularly high stakes, but it's all been fairly complex. Like, Soul was not a simple film.
That's true. And, you know, like, Inside Out created an entire mind system. Like, they're getting into some stuff, but this film kind of brings it back out to, like, the here and now. Like, it's rooted in.
Yeah, and, like, there are mystical elements, but we never really get that world building, and we don't really need it. We just know that these sea monsters, quote-unquote, exist. And that's about it.
Yeah.
All right. Do you want to delve further into whether or not you'd recommend, or do we want to go straight into spoilers?
I mean, I'd recommend it to literally anyone. I'm ready to go into spoilers.
Got it.
I don't care what you like. I'm going to ask if you've seen this movie, and then I'm going to talk to you about it for like 5 minutes.
Is this what you're like with Cars?
Yes. Oh my God, Andy, I was looking at ALA, American Library Association posters for my teen room, and they have one that's just Cars, and underneath Lightning McQueen, it just says Reed, and I want to buy it so bad. I want to buy it so bad.
Then do it.
But the thing is, people aren't going to know that I love Cars. They'll just think I'm being a weird, uncool librarian.
Do it. Set it up and then just sit right by it and explain it to everyone who passes by.
And then I can like make myself a custom shirt that says, "Talk to me about the Pixar film Cars."
No, really. Please talk to me.
No, but actually, I have a lot to say.
All right, well, I guess moving forward from here, we will be discussing... I almost just said Cars.
Yep, that's what you get. It's the next hour, folks.
We will be... Oh, I hope this doesn't go on for another hour.
Yeah, I really have to go to bed. I'm so tired.
We will be discussing Luca with no restraint on spoilers. If you would like to view Luca, it is currently available on Disney+. Okay, Luca, is it gay enough? Are you happy with how gay this is?
Okay, well, here's the thing. I initially was not happy with how gay it was. I understand that regardless of the relationship between Luca and Alberto, we have a very, very queer storyline. That's just, like, undeniable. It is, like, it's just super queer. It just is. And when I finished watching it, I, like, my gut reaction was to want it to be more explicitly queer between the two characters. And I realize I am saying this right after you just said that you love the fact that it shows healthy male relationships and there aren't any romantic stakes in the film. I understand all of these things. I genuinely do. And I agree with all of them. But like my initial reaction was just like, Disney is so behind their game with inclusion. And of all of the films that they have ever done that could have had a queer relationship, this one is like the perfect one. And I'm not like asking for anything super like overt or in depth. And I don't think they even would have had to change. They wouldn't have had to change anything. Like, it literally could have been the exact same story, the exact same script, just like little moments that show the characters sort of...
No, if they made it the exact same script, it would have been a much sadder ending.
What?
If they kept it the exact same script, but they had a romantic connection between Alberto and Luca, it would be a much sadder ending, as the ending is literally Luca moving away.
Okay, no, but that's the thing, right? Like, a relationship between young people is, it's like about exploration and care. I wasn't looking for it to be like a thing where they like end up romantically together at the end. Just that they're like feeling out what it means to be romantic romantic or to have this attraction with one another. And again, I'm not saying it had to be super explicit. I understand, like, the core of this is friendship, but also the core of, for me at least, the core of romantic relationships is also that same friendship and care and compassion. So here's what I posit. I think it could have been exactly the same, and they just could have had little moments, like the moment when they're up in the Vespa, and you already get this scene of, like, the Vespa kind of splitting in two, and you have Luca grabbing Alberto and, like, pulling him close, and you see his hand completely wrapped around his chest. Like, you know, again, isolating that moment, lingering a little bit on the places where they're, like, his hand is wrapped around him, having Luca blush a little bit, having them go to sleep together and maybe wake up holding hands. Like, little things like that that are the way that kids explore relationships beyond just friendship. Like, that could have been it. And I'm not asking, like, I didn't need a big romantic kiss. I didn't need any of that. Just a little bit more of those little moments. And then
I still stand by my statement.
Okay.
I think the ending would be significantly sadder if that.
I don't
I'm not saying the
so.
Ending would be worse. I think you are pitching a better film. I genuinely believe that.
Yes, but I also didn't finish because you also could have had, like, you know, at the end of the movie where they showed all of the really cute drawings of, like, them staying in touch over time, you know?
Yeah.
Of, like, them talking over the phone. Like, there could have been one of him getting off of the train, or, like, it could have had them writing letters to one another. It could
Yeah, but I wouldn't
them,
have seen it because I would have still been crying.
That's fine. Crying is not always a bad thing. I like happy crying. If it had shown them, like, if those little scenes at the very end had shown a little bit more of a progression in time, and you would have seen them continue to have these moments as they grew older, and then to have it end with him, like, getting off of the train and, like, just having, like, a still of them kissing off the train, I would have literally lost it. Like, that would have been so sweet, and it would have made me cry like a maniac. And I know this for a fact, because I don't know if you've seen the show Bluey or not, but it is literally an Australian show made for kids. The characters are 4 and 6 years old, and it's perfect. But they just had an episode where one of the little characters was talking about how she met her friend at preschool, and it ends with, like, a 10-second clip of just pictures of them through, like pivotal moments in their life growing up, and it ends with them, like, hugging each other on graduation day, like, from college, and I literally just started ugly crying immediately. Like, if Luca had done that, how freaking perfect would that have been? That would have been amazing, and you would have still had the same story, you would have had the same tenderness, the same care, the same focus on friendships, the stakes wouldn't have been romantic, it wouldn't have been, like, you're wondering if they will or will not, or, like, the focus of the story would have been the same, but you would have just seen, I think, a little bit more of that explicit representation for young kids who are watching this, and seeing that these feelings, that these experiences are okay and are healthy and are powerful. Like, that would have been so good. It was still really good and really queer, but, like, that would have been
absolutely
so good.
Absolutely. No, I think OKKO does a very similar thing with their finale, and I definitely bawled tears when I saw that finale.
Yeah, right?
So, like, I'm not saying you're not pitching improvements to this film. I do like where the film has landed in terms of keeping that balance of platonic friendship and having that healthy relationship between those two. I read this film as a coming out story, and I think that we, at least as a society, we don't really get a whole lot of queer representation outside. Well, I mean, we don't get a whole lot of queer representation at all, but having queer representation in a non-romantic setting is also something that we are severely lacking, and I think that this film does a fairly good job of doing that and slipping it, or at least slipping that message underneath censorships from pretty much the Chinese market. Because a lot of what Disney has been doing as of lately, and I've seen this with Sony, I've seen this with a lot of the bigger corporations, is they tend to keep their bigger projects, like their most recent Pixar films, or in Sony's case, they did a fairly similar thing with the Mitchells versus the Machines, where if there is any form of queer representation, they have to remove it for the Chinese audience, or else the Chinese government just doesn't air these things.
Oh, God.
Yeah, the Chinese government has a very strong hold on the censorship of a lot of the films that they produce. And Disney in particular have been known to film and edit completely brand new scenes specifically for their Chinese audiences. So it's, in terms of it not being super explicit for this film, it's almost, in my eyes, anything that would have been explicit would have been shut down because of their need to keep the international viewers.
We understand the value of having this story be one that kids still get to see. I'm just angry that that is the state of the world that we're in, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Like, no, it's not great.
Wishful thinking in terms of what I would have wanted, but also I think you bring a good point, and it is important to realize that this movie is now going to reach more kids and still have an impact.
Yeah, it is still very much a queer story. It is still very much queer representation. It is very much a coming out story that can be shown to an international audience without it being caught by the censorships.
Yeah.
And I think that Disney specifically are learning to be a bit more playful with that concept. Because, like, as we've discussed with Owl House, there is a fairly explicit queer representation in that show, mm-hmm. where the creator has outright gone out and said, like, where the creator has outright called out people on Twitter for being against the queer representation in her show. So having, like, Disney allowing for a show like The Owl House that has explicit queer representation, allowing that show to exist and allowing that show to flourish to some degree. We can discuss season 3 of that show later. But it's still airing. The season 2 is currently airing. And they're not backing down on that explicit queer representation. So Disney is clearly capable and willing to have some amount of gayness in the shows that they are making money off of. And while this is Pixar specifically, not necessarily Disney, I understand wanting to be a bit more careful with your big summer blockbuster film.
Yeah, but I'm still allowed to be angry that...
Oh, you are. You should be. I would be concerned if you weren't.
Because I also think it could have been such a great place to show, like, relationship growing from friendships and, like, this idea of having someone that you're not ready to be with in a moment because, you know, they're dealing with their own understanding of the world. But, like, relationships you grow into, like, that is such a beautiful frickin' story. Also, speaking of Miyazaki and the inspiration from this film, he has a really great quote where he's talking about, like, the types of relationships that he portrays in his films. And he says, I want to portray a slightly different relationship, one where two mutually inspire each other to live. If I'm able to, then perhaps I'll be closer to portraying the true expression of love. And I think that that's just, like, so beautiful. And I think that Luca does really get there, right? Like,
this idea Luca really hits that nail on the head, yeah.
Yeah, the impact that you have on one another through compassion and care and support, and this idea of growing into a better version of yourself because of the bond that you create with someone else, and then being able to live your own life better because of it, whether it's in the same place or, in their case, you know, separate. Like, that is just such a beautiful, perfect thing. I love it so much. And this movie is literally everything I've ever wanted. Like, I can't stop freaking out about it because all of the stuff that I love, this film was like, hey, here you go. I am a little bit scared of the ocean, so maybe not that part, but it was all beautifully animated, so, like, I got past it. But it's just
so good. What's
wrong
with the ocean? What did the ocean ever do to you?
Okay, here's the thing. Growing up, when I would go to the video store, back when that was a thing, they had this really big poster of Jaws, like, right at the place where you would check out, and it traumatized me as a kid. Like, I have no reason to be irrationally afraid of sharks, but you know what? I am. And I think it's because of that Jaws poster, and because my dad used to grab my feet underwater when we went swimming in ponds, which probably did.
I think it's more that second one.
I was so afraid of that because of Jaws. So, you know what? But other than that, this movie was perfect, and I wouldn't have it. I just absolutely adore every freaking second of it. So I think this is, like, I can go both sides with this. I can totally see where you're coming from with where their relationship lands, and I can also obviously see where I'm coming from with where their relationship ends. I think I maybe have been more aggressively being like, should have been gayer, because of all of the people that I see on social media being like, it's not a gay story. And I'm like, what movie did you watch? Oh,
it is a very queer story.
Yeah, like,
what? It might not be romantically gay, but it is a very queer story, and I'm here for it.
Yeah, and maybe it's because of that that I got frustrated because, and again, people are stupid, but, like, if they aren't seeing it, I just farted.
Keeping that in.
No! God, this is going to be an embarrassing episode. I don't know what I'm trying to say, but, like, because I know in my heart that it's making a huge impact. But I also wish that people couldn't ignore the impact it's making by undercutting the tenderness of its queer story. I don't know if that makes any sense.
No, I absolutely understand what you're saying. I do. I agree that the changes that you're suggesting would improve the film and it would improve the emotional impact. When I say that it would make it for a much sadder ending, at least for me, I did not mean that as a bad thing.
I guess what I'm trying to get at is that while I do wish that Luca had been queerer, what I really want is for the world to be queerer. Like, that's really where I land here, you know?
Yeah, I think this film is as queer as it can be while still also making Disney money. And it's a shame that this is as queer as we can be without losing out on profit.
Are you telling me to burn down capitalism, Andy? Is that what you're telling me? I don't know if this is... isn't a political podcast, but are you telling me that we should change the capitalist system that we're all slave to?
I don't know if this is entirely capitalism's fault.
Well,
capitalism definitely has a hand in this pot. Like, capitalism's hands are not clean of this. But I don't think this is all capitalism.
All right, Andy, just lay it on me.
I think the issue
What do I burn down?
I mean, the Chinese government?
Oh God! Oh, we can't publish that.
We can't say that. We can't do that.
Oh my God! No. Oh God! All right, backtrack.
The problem stems with the fact that the Chinese government is censoring out literally anything and doesn't allow for companies to be able to make a profit without conforming to their ideals, right?
Yeah, but if the goal wasn't profit, then we wouldn't have to worry about what.
But that doesn't change the situation in China.
That's true.
Like that system that actively oppresses individuals still exists, regardless of whether or not capitalism does. Capitalism's capitalism's hands are not clean of this. You are correct. We absolutely would not have to worry about this if we weren't worried about making a profit. But that doesn't help that area, you know?
Yeah. You know what, Andy? You caught me. I gotta be thinking more globally. I appreciate that. I do. It's easy to get caught up in, you know, my own bubble of freaking out about American politics.
I mean, I'm all for a good burn down capitalism, eat the rich chant. Like, get me in on that. But I don't. Going through that loop does not entirely resolve the situation. Because, like, the answer is if we get rid of capitalism and we don't care about making a profit, then China just doesn't get to see this film at all.
Yeah, well, I don't really know how to get around that one, but, yeah.
Anyway, here's my one gripe with this film. There is an antagonist in this film who is an older... He's a grown man. I don't care what you tell me, he is a grown man.
He is a
grown adult who is making decisions as a grown adult.
Okay.
And I take an issue with Ercole.
Andy.
And
do you take issue with the villain of the film?
Look, you can have... first off, this film does not need a villain.
I agree. I completely agree.
This film is simple enough that having a straight-up villain is not necessary.
Yeah, I totally agree.
He's definitely an antagonist, but he did not need to be outright villainish.
I agree. He also did not have to be a grown man. Like, I feel like his entire purpose in the film was to, like, maintain sort of the stakes of the danger, right? Like, the importance of this race, and also to be the reason for the boys to, you know, still be concerned for their, like, actual safety. But that could have also easily been maintained by, like, the tone of the town.
And also, if he was actually 16, like he claims he is, to be in the race...
which we know
I can not. Excuse a 16-year-old... Yeah, we are explicitly told that he's claiming to be 16. They said, you said that last year, and it's implied that he lied about his age the year prior to that. So he is 17 at the youngest, and potentially 18, 19. That being said, if he were actually a child, or if he were actually at an age where he is following along with his parents' ideals without really questioning them, if he hasn't gotten to that point in his developmental age, I can absolutely excuse the actions he took in this film. Or to some degree, especially if there's like a scene where like, oh, his parents are like, no, this is okay, and he's coming to terms with it. Or if he shows any amount of regret, like he accidentally hurts one of them and he shows some amount of regret for what he's done. Mm. But early on in the film, before he finds out that these kids are sea monsters, he actively threatens them. He looks and acts psychotic. And then the moment he has even a sliver of an excuse to actually bring them harm, he immediately jumps on it.
Yeah.
And like, his only retribution is that his two friends don't like him anymore.
Yeah. No, I totally agree.
It bothers me that this village is capable of upbringing a child like that.
And allowing his behavior.
Yeah, not only allowing, but rewarding his behavior.
Why was he even allowed to be in this race? Why? They know he's not 16. Why are they letting him? Like, what the heck?
In that race, he actively puts other people in danger to get to the boys. He literally kicks one of the racers off the track just to throw a harpoon at another child.
Yeah, listen, I am not going to be the person to argue that an antagonist has to be present within a film. Cars is one of my favorite movies because it actively does not have an antagonist. And I completely agree. And I also think it would have been, again, if my favorite thing to do is to take a work that I definitely never could have created in my entire life and pick it apart and tell it how it could have been better. But anyway.
Is that not this podcast?
That is entirely this podcast. It's really feeding off of, you know, my things.
Art is hard. I feel like we're gonna say this every episode, but art is difficult. Let's acknowledge that.
100%. But here's what I'm saying. I agree with you. I don't think they needed to have a villain. I do think there is value in showing sort of the danger and the stakes of them getting caught, and also like the drive of wanting to win the race. But I also think it could have really easily, I really like your idea of like the moment of showing remorse. Because I think if Ercole's character had been a boy their age or a girl their age, like a person their age, a young person who is also dealing with being a young person, who is a little bit of a bully, who wins every time and is used to winning because they're good, like doing something that then hurts someone else. And having that moment of like, oh my god, this isn't what I wanted. Because this film, again, does a really good job of showing these small reactions, like implying the meaning behind something. If that character had been younger and had done something where they catapulted one of the boys off their bike into the rain, and just like zooming in on that face of like horror at what they had done, that moment that you realize I've been doing all this stuff but none of it has had an impact, and that moment where it has an impact and you as a person understand that that impact is negative, and like that moment of regret, that would have been so impactful. But they didn't do that, so that sucked.
Yeah, this film does not need a villain. And I think that character could have been a great rival. And it's another moment of having another individual in your life inspire you to be a better person. Yeah. Inspire, or either physically better or emotionally better. And showing up someone who is so accustomed to winning is enough of a retribution that, like, it's so difficult for me to view a society that allows for this kind of thing to be okay. Yeah. And see that as something that I want to support.
Yeah.
If there was some amount of doubt, if there was some amount of regret established within, oh, what's his name again?
Ercole.
If there was some amount of all of that established in Ercole, at some point, it would also give the ending where suddenly the town's okay with sea monsters for some rushed reason a bit more weight to it. Because it means that if Ercole, having grown and having had that sea monsters are bad mentality beat into them from birth, can have that regret and see the worth of the sea monster, then so can the rest of the town. And I don't think we get that moment, or I don't think the film really earns the entire village coming to terms with things.
I agree. And I think, again, those would have been really small changes that would have then shifted the impact of the story, right? Like, every single choice that's made piles into this message of this film, and little tweaks can really shift the outcome of those messages. And I think that would have been really powerful for that sort of antagonist character. And I do think rival is the perfect word for it. Like, we don't need this big villain. I think Luca comes the closest, other than Cars, which doesn't have one. They literally, Cars, see, Cars does it. Cars doesn't have a villain. They have a rival. See, I've done it. I brought it back to Cars. But, like, Luca comes closest to not having an actual villain. And I still think they kind of, the movie gets caught up in this need, right, that we need to have it to have stakes, where, you know, this film has also shown that just the stakes of finding your people, like, that's pretty high stakes. It's not high stakes in, like, the sense of, like, oh my god, this might not happen, but, like, the impact of having that is so great that the stakes of finding it are quite huge. The stakes of Alberto finding a family are really high. Like, that's right, like, this kid has been alone. Him finding a family is so important, and, like, the ramifications of not are so big, but you don't need a villain who's like, I killed your father, for the stakes to have impact. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So yeah, I think basically this film did almost everything perfectly, and there are just small little tweaks that I would have made had I been, you know, the one creating it.
Yeah, no, my complaints for this film are almost entirely nitpicks. Like, this film does a very good job with the story it's trying to tell. There are small things that I'm like, we can change this up a bit and make it better, but overall, very good film.
Oh, heck yeah.
All right, I do have,
like, got fam.
I do have one more question for you, and then we can wrap this up.
Oh boy.
Did you cry? Did this film make you cry?
Of course it did. It made me cry.
Nerd.
Both times. You cried? Yeah. Well, I bet you cried too, so there you go.
No, I cried twice.
Well, there you have it. I cried at, like, the most obvious point. This is not a very original cry, but, like, the moment when Alberto is running up with the umbrella and he falls and the water, you know, turns him into the sea monster, and Luca sees, and, like, in his eyes you see, like, the fear and him, like, launching out to grab him to safety. I, like, straight up just immediately started crying. And then I pretty much cried till, like, the end.
Oh.
So that's what I got.
Yeah, I did not cry in that scene. Not gonna lie to you.
Yeah, I gotta say, I started crying and I was like, well, this is a really unoriginal place for me to cry. This is literally the moment where the film is like, hey, cry. But you know
hey,
what?
Hey, you.
You gotta feel what you gotta feel.
That's fair. And, like, that means that the movie is doing its job well.
Exactly.
So I do have to give this film a ton of props for pretty much exactly what you had said earlier. This film does an amazing job of showing and not telling. In the scene where Alberto outs himself to try and out Luca, they have that, like, standoff. And there's a moment where after Luca says no and tries to, like, or where Luca's, like, actively looking worried for Alberto's safety, when, again, a harpoon gets thrown at him, there's this pause, and it's just Julia looking at the ocean and then looking at Luca, and there's no words, but you can see the gears turning in her head. And I think that, like, that sent an emotional, like, ping through me that stayed with me up through that scene where they're coming home and she's telling her father Alberto ran away, and her father goes out and looks after him. And when she tries to kick Luca out because that she was more worried for his safety, because that was what was right for his safety. And she says, do you think I want you to? And then she can't finish that sentence. Like, she can't bring herself to finish that sentence. That moment, like, genuinely brought me to tears.
Yeah. Oh, this movie did such a good job with the feels.
Saying goodbye to a friend is very difficult. And saying goodbye to a friend under emotional distress because you are worried for their safety, that is something I can't imagine going through at that age. Like, that is, like, the emotions that she would have had to have felt to get to that point is, like, so, like, I don't know how to phrase it. It got me. That really got me. And then the second moment that got me was when Alberto was saying goodbye to Luca at the train. And he says, you got me off the island.
Yes! Oh my god! Yes! Oh, that? Yes.
Because it's like, he's still physically on the island, but he got him off his own island.
Yes! No, that part was freaking perfect. And I think that was one of the perfect moments for something to be said, right? Like, so much of this film went without saying the feelings.
But it's also, that statement says a lot more than just those words. Like, there's so much behind that, and all you had to say was that.
Yeah, but I'm glad that was a moment where it was overtly stated, right? Like, it wasn't just shown in, like, the tenderness of their goodbye. It was something that one said to the other out loud. And that had a lot of power for me. Yeah, that was such a perfect line.
Yeah, all right. Do you have anything else you want to add?
I'm just really happy this movie exists.
Before we wrap things up.
I love it so much. Like, I think it's been a really long time since I've seen a new Pixar movie that I have felt is one that I know I will want to come back to. Like, I have the classic Pixar films I grew up with. Like, I come back to, I mean, obviously I'm obsessed with Cars, but like, I come back to Cars all the time when I want a comfort movie. I come back to Ratatouille all the time. I come back to The Incredibles. I come back to Monsters, Inc. Those are like probably the core group that I rewatch time and time again. And I don't think since whatever one of those came out the most recently, I don't know, Ratatouille probably, there hasn't been a movie that I felt I've wanted to go back to. But I gotta tell ya, Luca was one that I saw and I immediately was like, I will want to rewatch this like every year. Like, I was so excited to watch it a second time before we even recorded this podcast, and it hadn't even been like a month yet. Like, I really love this movie. I am still grappling with whether or not it has dethroned Cars for being my top Pixar film. And I say this with like a lot of personal anguish. I have grappled over this, Andy. Grappled. I don't even know if I've come to a conclusion. They're really high up there. But Luca might have done it, or I might have come close. But the fact that I'm willing to unseat Cars, like, you gotta know that has a lot of impact. I don't say this lightly. I put a lot of stake in my love for Cars. The movie, not the vehicle. Screw the vehicle. But
explicitly the vehicle?
I'm not a fan of Cars the vehicle. I like Cars the movie. I am a train girl in real life.
I don't know. You keep talking about Cars. I keep thinking you want the vehicle.
I really love Luca. And that's just, I'm just putting it out there. That's how I'd like, that's all I've got to say.
Uh-huh. Okay. I also really like Luca. I don't think I would put it down as my favorite Pixar film. I think best Pixar film is a fairly high bar that this doesn't reach, but like, we don't need to compare it to those. It's a good film in its own right. It deserves to stand on its own. All right, so before we wrap things up, I have a new segment I would like to introduce. Hopefully we can get this more regularly, but we have some mail. This is some mail from Jay. Jay says, "Hi, I found the podcast when searching The Owl House using Spotify's podcast filter, and I've been really enjoying it. I especially like the Infinity Train episodes. I had somehow never connected the number system to the education system, and found that to be a compelling parallel. Despite she/her pronouns canonically being used for Lake, solely using those to refer to them has felt unnatural to me, so I appreciate the use of they/them pronouns, the recognition of how their story parallels trans experiences. Also, Nadia's joke about Flex sucking and also sucking each other. I was wondering if you're planning to cover Tuca and Birdie.
Okay.
Or if either of you are fans of it.
So,
thanks for making the podcast. And thank you, Jay, for emailing in. Yes. I really appreciate it.
This made me so happy. Also, Andy promised me that I would get to pick the next show that we talked about after getting through, like, Raya and Luca, because
I promised nothing.
You did. And I was literally getting ready to suggest that we do Tuca and Birdie next because I have seen a little bit of it and I really wanted to finish it and really wanted to talk to you about it. So I was incredibly happy when I saw that you recommended it in your email because I was like, hey, Andy can't say no if two of us want to do Tuca and Birdie. So thank you for suggesting that. And it also was weirdly perfect because I was getting ready to pitch it to Andy today. So that worked out really perfectly.
Honestly, I'm not going to lie. I was also going to pitch it to you because season 2 was just finishing up, so it would actually be quite relevant at the time. We're just all
perfectly on the same wavelength, and everything worked out beautifully. What a day!
And then after that, we get to do Cars 2.
Don't make me!
What's wrong? I thought you loved Cars.
Cars 1, and I very much enjoy Cars 3.
And if I remember correctly, There is a voice recording of you promising me we'd watch Cars for my birthday.
When the time comes, I always keep my promises. But we will have to watch it together so that you can see me weeping and writhing in pain and you can know what you've done.
Anyway, next episode we will be discussing Tuca and Birdie. if anyone else would like to send us a letter, give us some suggestions where to go with things, or have any thoughts on the things that we've said, feel free to reach out to us. You're at AnnieMedPod on Twitter and Gmail. That being said, it has been a pleasure. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sitting through whatever this was. And thank you for doing all those things. Yay. Doing podcasts.
Bye.
Bye.